Any one of a half dozen contests could decide control of the U.S. Senate in Tuesday's election. If Democrats lose just a single seat, Republicans take control. NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson joins us now. Hi, Mara.
Hi, Steve.
So is anybody going to show up for this election on Tuesday?
Well, it's supposed to be a low turnout election. All the indications that we have in terms of voter interest and the turnout from the special elections that we had last year suggest this will be a very low turnout. Democrats historically have had a much better get-out-the-vote operation. They have the unions, they have the black churches. They are much better at this on the ground. But Republicans, after they really got whooped by the Democrats in get-out-the-vote in 2000, went to school. They set up something called the 72-hour task force, in other words, to look at what happens in the last 72 hours of a campaign. And they are promising to be much, much better at it this year.
We may not have very many people coming out to the polls, but that's not stopping the candidates from trying to get them there. Jean Carnahan is an incumbent Democratic senator in Missouri, one of the most closely watched races in the country. And let's listen to her speaking at a union hall the other day. And Carnahan pointed out that she is a big reason that her party is in control. You'll recall that her husband, Mel Carnahan, was killed in a plane crash during the 2000 election. She was appointed to replace him.
We have just a one-vote margin in the United States Senate. We wouldn't have that. If I had decided not to run 2 years ago, we would not have a Democratic Senate. One person can make a difference.
Mara Liasson, Jean Carnahan got a lot of sympathy in the year 2000. Why is she vulnerable this time around, though?
She's vulnerable because this is a swing state, first of all, and she has made some missteps on the campaign trail. And, of course, the Republicans are pulling out all the stops against her. She doesn't seem to have the kinds of advantages of incumbency that an incumbent who had been in there for a little bit longer would have had. And she is considered right now among Democrats to be the most vulnerable incumbent.
What sort of missteps has she made?
Well, I think she's just been less than sure-footed as she's answered questions on the campaign trail. She doesn't have as much experience handling the press, and she doesn't have as much experience in debates and all of the other mechanics of campaigning.
This is actually her first campaign.
That's right.
Now, her opponent is Jim Talent, a Republican who's attacking Congress for doing nothing. Let's listen to him speak.
You know, to be fair, the Senate has always been slow. I mean, Jennifer was too kind to go through the names that people in the House call the Senate. The graveyard of good ideas. I mean, we've experienced this for a long time. But it's one thing to be slow, to putter away. It's another thing to be broken. And the Senate is broken. They haven't passed a budget for the first time in 26 years. They can't get any of the appropriations bills to the president. They can't pass any prescription drug bill, as Jennifer said, much less a good one. You know, they ought to get out of Washington.
This is actually true, isn't it, Mara Liasson? A remarkably unproductive Congress this time.
Yes, but Jim Talent is using that argument in a partisan way. The Senate happens to be controlled by Democrats. You know, he has a lot of contempt for the Senate. Well, he is running to be part of it.
I'm sure the Senate will get better when he gets there.
Right,
sure that's how
right.
He's thinking of it.
That's right. But what he's saying is this is a Democrat Senate, and if we had a Republican Senate, it wouldn't be this way.
Surprised to realize that lawmakers are still campaigning on prescription drugs. You heard Jim Talent mention it, and now Senator Tim Hutchinson of Arkansas, who's in a tight race, mentions it here.
The big issue statewide, the big concern of people statewide is prescription drugs. And I don't think there's any doubt about that because you're either affected yourself or your parents or your grandparents are affected. It is a cloud that looms over the future of senior citizens, and that has been a huge part of the debate. And it's something I hear all over the state, in the retirement communities of the Northwest to the poor seniors on Medicaid in the Delta.
Well, first of all, I don't think this is the number one issue in this race. I think prescription drugs is important because it affects elderly people, and elderly people vote in disproportionate numbers in every election, but especially in midterm elections. I don't think, in Tim Hutchinson's case, prescription drugs is going to be the deciding factor.
Well, what is?
I think Tim Hutchinson's own personal behavior is probably going to be the deciding factor. The reason why he is a vulnerable incumbent and the reason why President Bush isn't even bothering to fly in to try to help him. I think Republicans have almost written this race off because Tim Hutchinson was a very conservative Republican. He's a minister. He was a champion of the Christian right, but he divorced his wife of 29 years and married a staffer. And that has turned off a lot of his supporters. He's running against Attorney General Mark Pryor, who stresses his family ties. He often appears in his campaign commercials holding a Bible. And I think that family values is probably going to be a little bit more important in this race than prescription drugs.
So just keeping up with the math here, Democrats could lose a seat in Missouri. Republicans could lose a seat in Arkansas.
Right, which changes nothing.
And now we move on to some other states here. In North Carolina, Elizabeth Dole was favored to replace Senator Jesse Helms, who's retiring. Elizabeth Dole, of course, the wife of former presidential candidate Bob Dole. That would also change nothing, but she's being challenged by Erskine Bowles, a former White House chief of staff and a Democrat. And Bowles spent some time on the stump recently trying to stress his local connections to North Carolina.
This is where I have always lived. North Carolina is my home. And I think by living here in North Carolina, I've had the chance to work in my community. I've had a chance to work within the homeless shelter and take my kids there. I've had a chance to work with battered women. I've had a chance to work in North Carolina, you know, on the Rural Prosperity Task Force, making sure that we, you know, we really looked out for the problems facing rural North Carolina. So, look, I think all of those have affected who I am and what I am and what I care about.
Mara Lyson, I love this. Erskine Bowles is a man who made his political name by going to Washington to work for Bill Clinton, and he's running against Elizabeth Dole, who lived in Washington for decades and was the Secretary of Transportation and everything else. And Elizabeth Dole also is trying to stress her North Carolina roots.
Well, that's important in a race for Senate and any statewide race. The carpetbagger issue, in other words, the issue of being away from home for too long, was expected early on in the race to hurt Dole more than Bowles. Bowles has spent more of his adult life in North Carolina than Elizabeth Dole has, but I don't think in the end that that has hurt her. I think she is favored to win this race. It is closing. The polls show that it is a little bit tighter now as we go into the final few days, but it's important that both of them stress their local roots, but I don't think that the carpetbagger issue in the end hurt Dole.
Everybody's talking about local issues. When I've traveled around in the last few days, I've also heard a lot of people stressing local concerns, local highways, and so forth. It's rare that war on terrorism gets mentioned, rare that national security gets mentioned. In listening to the tape from some of these races, Mara, we did hear one occasion in which it was mentioned by Senator Wayne Allard, a Republican of Colorado, but even he managed to make it a local issue. He talked about a new major command headquarters that's going to be located in Colorado.
I was so excited in the last week I had an opportunity to come to Colorado Springs for the stand-up of NORTHCOM. It's a new command that's coming here in Colorado Springs, and the reason that it's here in Colorado Springs is because we have a modern military. We're able to address the needs of this country in protecting its borders. And this particular command is going to have control not only of defending America, but Canada, possibly Mexico, and part of the Caribbean.
And no doubt bring some jobs to the local economy.
That's right. I was thinking that probably is the most important, more important message about that than the actual issue of national defense. I think you're right. I don't think that national security has become a major issue in this campaign. I think that the debate over the war on Iraq did tend to dominate the national headlines and make it harder for Democrats to get attention for the issues they wanted to talk about, like Social Security and the economy and prescription drugs. But I don't think that it is going to be a deciding factor in terms of voters' choice in any of these races.
Mara, we've heard some predictions that all these races might not be decided on November 5th. As someone who's been watching this closely, I wonder what you think the chances are that we might not know who's in control of the Senate or the House on November 5th.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even want to think about that prospect. But yes, it is possible. Some of these races are so close that they could trigger an automatic recount. Some of these elections could be challenged. You've had allegations of voter fraud in South Dakota, for instance, and both parties have ready teams of lawyers ready to fly into any state and contest these elections if necessary. So I think, yes, it's possible that we won't know for sure. There's also one other angle. In Louisiana, if the winner does not get over 50%, there will be a runoff on December 7th. So it's possible that that runoff could determine who has the majority of the Senate, and we might not know that till December 7th.
Mara Lyason is NPR's national political correspondent. Mara, thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.